This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Frida Liu, it's Resource Centre. Now, in many industries, boundaries are set and structured by big players while all the other companies have to play by the rules. This is what is called structuralism. This limits the thinking of the leaders and makes it difficult to think of new ways of doing business to reconstruct the market boundaries. How can organisations break free to truly innovate? I think I've got a song already. I've got Raj Kumar from UCSI Blue Ocean Strategy Consulting. Welcome back, Raj. Happy Chinese New Year.
Happy Chinese New Year, Frida. It's good to be back.
We wanted to start off today's topic to talk about thinking about the box. And then I said, what? There is no box.
Exactly.
You know? But, yeah. What's the reason for this topic today?
I think this is a very interesting topic because many a times people approach me and ask, how do you think out of the box? And some people even say, who created this box? Thinking out of the box, or rather managers like to tell your staff, hey, think out of the box. But nobody really understands what this means, right?
It's a nice catchphrase.
Yeah, it's a nice catchphrase, overused, but many people don't know the method to the madness. So let's look at it from the historical perspective. Where did this term come about? Basically, it came from the nine dots puzzle. Where you have to join the dots with four lines or even three lines without lifting the pen.
Yeah.
And so people tend to form an imaginary box and do not go outside of these dots.
Right.
So that's how the term, hey, you got to think out of the box in order to join the dots.
So that's where that phrase came from.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the box.
Who came up with that box?
But interestingly enough, in today's world, the box have become more complex. Mm-hmm. And instead of just being dots on the piece of paper. And from our experience, we observed many companies, many managers, and so on and so forth. And we came up with six sites, or what we call six mental barriers,
right,
or thinking traps. Just like a cube, you have six sides. So we have categorized them into six thinking traps. So if you are confined by these six thinking traps, then you are thinking inside the box. But if you can identify this specifically, that's what we're going to do today, then you can think out of the box. Mm. And obviously, as what you said, the end goal is to eliminate the box totally.
All right. And of course, these mental barriers, they are six sides.
Yeah.
I'm going to go through them. You've got here education, industry, experience, assumptions, culture, and history.
Exactly.
So let's start with that favorite topic called education. How can we, escape from this education trap and think innovative?
All right,
education barrier that we have.
Exactly. Education can stop us from thinking out of the box. It's one side of it. Now, many a times we have a lot of knowledge, and a lot of MBA programs specifically today teaches us a lot of principles, but mainly westernized principles and not Asian context. For example, the MBA curriculum discourages to enter into a monopoly industry. But in reality, that's totally against an innovator's mind, which is disruptive innovation. Take, for example, David Gilboa, the founder of Warby Parker, one of the most innovative brands of 2015, which is an eyewear industry. And he went against Luxottica, which monopolized the entire eyewear industry in the U.S. But he did it by simply understanding, simplifying the entire purchasing process, simply understanding what are the pain points of the customers. Now, he is a Wharton MBA business school student at that time. Now, if he were to just follow what he was taught, he would have been in the box. And he would have just gone and maybe got a job. But, because of his observation and because of him challenging this thought process that is being imparted into them, he could come up with this amazing brand. And I like what Einstein said, the value of education is not learning of many facts, but training of the mind to think something that cannot be learned from textbooks. So I think education is good, but essentially we have to be careful that it doesn't just fill us with knowledge and we become just complacent with it, but we got to catch the thinking pattern behind it and challenge it.
And if you look at the dropouts, right? I mean, the famous dropouts, you've got your Branson and Zuckerberg and all these people, right?
Yeah.
So, they were not trapped by that piece of paper.
Exactly.
And I find also, you know, just from personal experience and observations, that a lot of people, especially when they have a degree or some sort of paper, it's that's holding them back. Yeah. Whether that is ego, if I fail or whatever, that's holding back. Whereas when you never had anything in the first place, I'll take any risk.
Exactly. So that
I really have to survive.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That creates a trap. So my advice out there is, you know, even if you do a PhD, I know many people, even with a PhD, they keep challenging what is being taught. They keep challenging the theory or anything. And I think this is something that we have to do, especially in Malaysia. You know, we do work with academicians. You know, I really respect all of them. But, you know, why aren't we producing the next Nobel Prize winner? Why aren't we producing the next best seller or next theory of management and so on and so forth? And we need to challenge that that knowledge base. Instead of just being a receiver, we need to challenge it, and we have to think outside the box, especially in the perspective of education.
Right. Okay. Now the other one is industry boundaries.
Yep.
Okay. For example.
Okay. Industry. Sometimes, as you mentioned earlier, we have this trap where we focus a lot on the conditions of the industry. So for example, if we have a philosophy where industry conditions are given, we can't do anything about it. And that is what we term as a structuralist perspective, point of view. That means the structure is already there. This is the industry. This is how it's going to be.
Yeah.
This is how it's going to be for the next few years. And this is how we're going to operate. And we just have to blend in. But we should not let that be a trap, because we need to challenge the industry boundaries. We need to talk about how we can reconstruct the industry, how we can be a game changer, how we can challenge the implicit industry rules. So, for example, I think during the break we were talking about the Food Matters. I think that's an amazing example of challenging how the industry has been practicing for a number of years. Instead of people going to a restaurant, why not the food come to your office or to you? So I guess that's an important thing that we need to know. And let me give you another example. One of my favorite examples, Aeroline. Right. If they were to just look at other bus operators, they will just come up with certain value propositions. Which are similar and just improvements, right? But they looked at another industry, which is the airline industry. And they started bringing in all the other elements into the bus industry.
Right.
For example, you have a nice lounge, you have food, you have, I think, even mobile lounges. We have, they even serve food and drinks. You have a power supply for business travelers. And they thought of all these things, not by looking at another bus operator, but by looking at an airline.
Right.
So that's where you can really challenge the industry boundaries.
And that's how FedEx started, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, Fred Smith, and he was looking at the bank and how checks were, you know, delivered and all that.
How it was tracked and so on and so forth. And that's how many companies that are great do not come about by looking at their own industry. They look at other industries and borrow values, attributes that can be brought into that industry, and then they reconstruct that industry.
Yeah, because there'll be blind spots otherwise if you're just stuck in your own industry and just looking at what's happening in that space. But if you look outside, you know, there are many things that you can learn from.
Yeah, so to think out of the box in this aspect, or, you know, to overcome this barrier, you need to ask the question, okay, who set these rules? You know, why can't these rules be changed? Look at banking, for example. You know, the banking industry has evolved for so many years.
Right.
And you look at, there's always someone changing the industry boundaries. So for example, now people are even talking about Facebook banking. So that's
changing. Scary.
Yeah, exactly. It's scary. But that's changing the face of the bank, right?
Changing
no pun intended.
Facebook. All right, now how about experience? Now, how that might be a trap to innovation?
You know, I just like to talk about this, because many a times, what stops people from thinking out of the box, one of the barriers is experience, believe it or not. Many a times people will say, oh, based on my experience, this will never work.
Yeah.
I've been in this industry for 30 years.
We
tried it before and it failed. Been there, done that. Now, that's a very, very dangerous statement to say, especially if you're in senior management, because times are changing. I mean, look at, there are so many businesses out there that have failed throughout the years. Mm. But they were giants at one time, like the Kodaks and the Nokias and so on and so forth. But when we talk about experience, you got to be very careful not to say that this is based on my experience. So the advice here will be to always be open to fresh perspective. Mm. Now, you can be very experienced, for example, 20, 30 years in the banking industry, but banking today is different. Mm. Yes, you can leverage off your experience, but it's important for you to have a fresh perspective. And people who are successful in creating businesses or innovating are the ones who don't have prior experience.
Right.
Because they have a fresh mind. And they ask why and why not?
Yeah.
Why not we change the way it's been done? Okay, yes, we've been doing this for the past 10, 20 years, but now's the time for us to change.
You know, I catch myself doing that when I talk to people sometimes, right? And I get their opinion, and then their opinion's completely different, right? And I'm like, hey, you know, I have to rethink this again. But at the same time, it's like, wow, I never saw it that way.
Yes.
And so you have to also be open to asking people sometimes when you talk about experience.
Yeah.
You're saying, talk to someone who's younger. Talk
yeah.
to someone who's older. Sometimes you just see things that you never saw before.
Exactly. And I hear you because I find myself even in the same situation sometimes. Yeah, even like with my consultant analyst, I say, hey, no, come on, you know, based on my experience there, I was like, hey, oops, okay, stop there.
All
know.
Right.
And I mean, just to add on, you know, look at Jack Ma, right?
Mm.
Jack Ma, founder of Alibaba, was an English teacher.
Hmm.
He had no prior experience of the technology, but he used that in a sense where, you know, to make Alibaba idiot-proof in
okay.
a sense, because he's not a tech guy, and he always look at it from his perspective to make sure that, you know, it's not something that a tech person would have invented, but something that...
I mean, just look at my boss, Malik Ali, he used to be a lawyer.
Exactly.
And how we need that now.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We need more lawyers.
We'll talk about other mental barriers right after this. Raj Kumar from UCSI Blue Ocean Strategy Consulting. It's Resource Center, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's Resource Center. Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu. I'm here with Raj Kumar from UCSI Blue Ocean Strategy Consulting. We're talking about the box, how that box came about, and of course, thinking on the box. And one of the things that we were discussing, that there are six areas where we have these mental barriers: education, industry, experience, assumptions, culture, and history. We've gone through three a little earlier on, so now we're going to move on to assumptions, right? And what's this with assumptions? You know, how can companies create an innovative culture, you know, based on that?
I think many a times assumption, we tend to assume many things.
Mm.
And I think one of the big barriers to thinking out of the box is this side of assumption. Now, the key
okay.
thing right now is to challenge these assumptions, especially implicit assumptions.
Mm.
So I would like to start with a very interesting example, Uber,
mm.
right? You know, the assumption of the industry was that, you know, starting a limousine operator or a taxi operator is supposed to acquire a fleet of vehicles,
mm.
right? But look at Uber, they challenge this assumption by working with existing licensed drivers. And by doing this, it doesn't provide its own vehicles, but, you know, it provides a platform that connects riders and drivers, and everybody can use this limousine service.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is a very important aspect, because many a times we are born with certain assumptions. You know, many, many thought patterns form these assumptions in us. So I guess this is an important aspect to think out of the box. We have to challenge the implicit assumptions.
Okay, so yeah. okay, there's assumptions and then there's culture.
There's culture, yes,
right.
exactly. Culture is a very interesting thing, because many a times we ask our staff to think out of the box, but we don't foster a culture that allows them,
mm-hmm.
that enables them, empowers them to think out of the box. So culture is also a barrier. Now, we did a recent survey, and we found that incumbent culture or business model is one of the hidden enemies of innovation in an organization. And many a times, you know, a lot of senior management, they want their organizations to be more innovative. They have innovation as a value. They
right.
have creativity as a value.
Mm.
But do you have the proper policy systems in
mm.
place? Do you have the right culture to foster this kind of innovation? And I think that, you know, many a times we like to preach about it, but we tend to have a very top-down approach.
Mm.
So a good example would be Best Buy. Right. Mm. Best Buy, they have internal crowdsourcing. They call it as a company as a wiki. And it encourages corporate in-store employees at all levels to share what product is selling well, what product is not selling well, and what are the systems that are working and are not working. And this is where you start to learn from one another. And this is what I call a tangible, tangible activity or a system in place to foster such an innovation culture.
Hmm.
So sometimes I think culture is a side or a barrier that stops people from thinking out of the box.
Okay, and of course here you're not talking about racial cultures,
but
organizational cultures. And of course you hear these stories about companies with great cultures. The Google always come up, the Zappos always come up. So when you talk about innovation, is the leader, you know, innovative in that sense, or open to innovation in that sense? Because you can talk about, oh, we need to be innovative, but you're not really open to innovation at the same time.
Yeah.
You can only talk about it.
Yeah.
But if there's no political will, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
It won't happen.
Yeah. Many a times, many organizations are actually, without knowing, forming a lot of mental barriers, boxes. And you expect your employees to think out of the box, but essentially they are in an environment that is closed up and that does not foster an innovative mindset or to think out of the box.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about history then?
History, yes.
The final one.
Yep. History is possibly also potentially a blockage, a hidden enemy of you being able to think out of the box. I mean, companies can innovate by identifying patterns in the history and finding ways to innovate for the future. Now, many a times there's a famous saying, people will say that, oh, you know, history have taught us this doesn't work.
Okay.
You know, in the past, it did not work. They tend to always refer back to history. But you have to look at the context. Maybe it did not work because it was not at the right time and space. So innovation, you need to be in the right time and space.
Mm.
Now, looking at history, it's fine. Learning from history is fine. But you got to use that and identify certain patterns to predict the future. So making sure that history is not a mental barrier, because we tend to say, I'm sorry, it did not work in the past, so forget about it.
Okay, that's an interesting point, because, when BFM decided to start out, and talk radio happened in the 90s, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
And to do it again, it's like, so we weren't sure whether, because it didn't work before.
Yeah, at that point of time, you could have just said, look, it's never worked before.
Mm.
And we could have just stopped there.
Mm.
But then we wouldn't have BFM today, right?
Mm.
So that's
And I wouldn't know Raj.
Yeah, I wouldn't know Frida.
Okay.
Yeah. So I guess that's an important fact. You know, I mean, look at Thomas Edison. If you were to just look at historical data, you would stop there, right? You would not innovate further and then eventually go on to create the light bulb.
Yeah.
So
there's that story again.
Yeah.
No, but it is important. There's so many things you can learn from that. You learn about persistence. You can learn about, past history is not working. So he's looking at past history didn't work. I'll find a way to make it work.
Yeah, keep asking why. Why didn't it work? What did they do or what didn't they do that we could change? You know, so thinking out of the box essentially will land you to that two golden questions, why and why not?
In the year of the goat, let's all change.
Let's change.
Thanks for being with us. I'm speaking to...
The grass is always greener on this side.
On this side. Okay, the grass is greener on this side. That's what the goat said.
That's what the goat said.
Raj Kumar from UCSI Blue Ocean Strategy Consulting. This is Resource Centre, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.